I have a very strong keshik this summer to learn with you, to talk about one of the big, big ikarim, one of the most fundamental, basic things in Yiddishkeit. And one of the most troubling things is that when it comes to the basics, let's say the 13 fundamental principles of Emunah, when it comes to the basics of Emunah, so anybody that is motivated to connect more to the Baruch Shalom naturally is driven to learn more and more about these Ikari HaEmunah, about the basic principles of Yiddishkeit. It's natural, it's normal, however you do that, by listening to Shiurim, by learning the Derech Hashem from the Ramchal, by reading very carefully Rabbi Kaplan's Svarim. But a person naturally feels connected to the Ikarim of Yiddishkeit, because one's entire Yiddishkeit depends on the Ikarim. And yet there is a certain Inyan in Avodas Hashem, which the Arizal said, that if a person is not connected to this Inyan, if he's not connected to this Inyan, the words of the Arizal were, that was brought from Rabbi Chaim Vital, is she'i efshar she'yochol shum kedusha al ha'ishahu. And it's impossible that any kedusha, that any holiness could possibly enter into the life of a person who is not connected to this ikur of Yiddishkeit. And he himself said, the Arizal himself said, that the madrigas that he reached in Avodas Hashem were because of this. The Inyan that we're going to learn this summer is Simcha, the Avodah of Simcha. Years ago, maybe it must be already 12, 13 years ago, we spent some shiurim on that topic. The pasuk tells us that when a person is in the presence of Hashem, the natural result of being in God's presence is oiz v'chedva, joy, strength and joy. Oiz v'chedva b'mkaymai. I'm sure everybody here says a lot of kapitlach tehillim. Anybody that's ever said a parak of Tilim knows that David HaMelech comes back to this over and over. Ivdu is Hashem b'simcha. Yogel Yaakov, Yismach Yisrael. Yogel Yaakov, the joy of Yaakov, Yismach Yisrael. Half the psukim in Tehillim are in this Inyan of Simcha. And it's not just Tehillim. All the Nevi'im, Sois Osis Basha. Sois Osis Basha. All that we're longing for and all that we're waiting for is Kol Sosn and Kol Simcha. All the Lashonis of Simcha, Gila, Rina, Ditsa, Chedva, Ava. All the Simcha. And so what's amazing is that we don't find a great Arichas. We don't find a great Arichas in the Svarim. All the Svarim touch upon the subject of Simcha, but we don't find it clearly discussed by Arichas. In Mesillas Yesharim, he touches upon it. He does discuss it. In all of the Svarim, there is Psukim that are brought, some Chazals that are brought. But this Inyan of Simcha, is the Shirish of our entire Avodas Hashem. Now, I was going to begin with a mimer from the Tzaddik of Matal Zilber, the Mitzvah will spend the second half of the summer on. In that Hagdama, that Tzaddik explains that we see that in every dar, in every generation, the darchei Avodas Hashem change. Now, what does that mean? We have a Shulchan Aruch, and we live according to the Torah, and we keep mitzvahs, and everybody had their different minhagim, Svadim Ashkenazim, among the Svadim, among the Ashkenazim, but the Darche Avodas Hashem, as far as Halach is concerned, are stable. The different opinions and so on, but for the most part, our Shabbos is the same Shabbos. Our Yontif is the same Yontif. And we all get up in the morning, we wash our hands, we make brachas and so on. However, when it comes to certain midas or drachim, ways of serving God, we find, and it's clear, that in different generations, the dogesh, the emphasis is placed more on a certain inyan. The following generation, it could be less on that inyan, and it could be now on a different inyan. Anybody that has even the slightest little familiarity with what's going on in our generation has a little bit of eyes to see and still has a warm Jewish heart, knows that we're living at a time where there's an unbelievable chisaron of simcha. An unbelievable chisaron of simcha. A lack of simcha. An oppressive feeling of atzvas, of sadness that fills our communities. So young people, more by the boys than by the girls, but young people, bechlal, they don't seem to have the chiyas, the life, that should be natural to somebody who has the privilege to be an Eved Hashem. What actually caused me to make the decision to learn this Indian, talk about this Indian this summer, is a conversation that I had with somebody who wasn't from, a relative of a Baal Tshuva, a student of mine, who said in a conversation that I had with him that he happens to work together with Orthodox Jews, and he doesn't understand if these people truly believe what they practice. He doesn't know why they're not happier with their lives. And it seems to him that he's never seen such broken-hearted people. I was so taken aback by that. Of course, I right away, explanations, justifications, rationalizations, excuses, v'chulu v'chulu, all of that, all of my natural defenses. But I'm Isaac with Yidden already for 33-34 years, and the matzav is not getting better. We have to ask ourselves, if we have the privilege from the whole world, there's only a few left who are Avdei Hashem, then where's the simcha? Where's the joy in our children and ourselves? Where's the simcha? Instead, if you ask any Orthodox therapist, he'll tell you that it was the best decision he made with his or her life. Because if you want a panasa, it's hard work. It's hard work. But anybody that's even a little bit good at that malacha is booked long in advance. People are already calling up for their kids before the kids have problems. Like you have to reserve a place for bar mitzvah, for chasana. They're already booking therapists in advance, in anticipation of all the sadness and confusion. You heard of the Chayzer from Lublin, right? I'm sure you heard of the Chayzer. I was zoche to be 2 weeks ago at his scene at the oil, and I davened over there a lot about this, about what we're learning about this Inyan of Simcha. Because among the tzaddikim, just like we learn in different generations, there are different avodas and darche Hashem that are more emphasized or less in a particular time, so too there are different tzaddikim that they were known more for certain midas and certain avodas. The Chayza, the seer of Lublin, Schus Yigalena, this Inyan of Simcha. So they say that by the Chayza, it once happened that there was a huge crowd. There was always a tremendous amount of people waiting to speak to him. And you know, the Agaboyim, and there's a whole mahalach of how to get in. And people have to wait for a long time to get into the Chayza. All of a sudden, there was a guy that came in, didn't look like he was a Yereshim, I'm a God-fearing person. And he was vulgar. A coarse, vulgar person. And he came in there, and there was a line waiting in the Gabarima there, and he says, "Where's Yaakov Yitzchak?" That's the Rabbi, the Chayzer. So right away, I say, "Chutzpah, who do you think you are? How do you talk?" And he says, "I'm here, and I want to speak to him." So they said, "You're here? There's a line." He says, "No, I want to speak to him now. Right now, I want to speak to him. Where's Yaakov Yitzchak?" There was a whole commotion. The Gabbai was taking the guy to throw him out. And the Chayzer hears there's a tumult. And the Chayzer comes out from his room, and everybody's afraid. And the Chayzer sees him, and he says to him, "Maishala, come on." And he invites him in. And they spent time there. Usually people are in and out 30 seconds, you know. This Yid is in there. This Yid is in there for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, for a long time. So the Oyel already came to the conclusion, it must be that he's one of the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim. You know, he looks on the outside one way, but on the inside he's something else altogether. And the Chayzer is a big maven, and the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim used to come to him. And they figured this must be from the Lamed Vav, because, you know, he's one of the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim. After around a half hour, the door opens and this Yid comes out. Also, like, not acting nice, but everybody moves away from him, and he walks through. And after he leaves, so they're all standing there, and the Chayzer was watching. He even walked with them a little bit. And they asked the Gabbayim, and the people there asked the Chayzer, "Reb, is that one of the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim?" He said, "Where, they're Moishala? A Tzaddik? What is that?" This guy's another, he's a Balaveyrus. He's a big Balaveyrus. So then they asked, "But Rebbe, then how come we all stand here for 2 days waiting?" and we get to be in for 2 minutes. And this Balaveyra comes in there. This Balaveyra comes in. And he spends the whole time, and he gets such cover, and you walk him out. Now, what Chayzer answered would not go over well in many Orthodox circles, but he said it, and it's brought down from those who are close to him. The Chayzer said, "I prefer to be with a Balaveir who's besimcha more than a sad Erlich Yid." Okay, I tell you, this Moshe, he doesn't even feel bad about his Aveirus. I enjoy his company. I just enjoy his company. He's purely besimcha, no guilt, nothing. Purely besimcha. You know, most of us it's a brachna, you know. He's purely besimcha, and he said, the Chayzer said, "I preferred a balaveir who's besimcha over an erlich yid, that's ba'atzvus, that's marishchayr, that's depressed." Regarding the Chayzer Lublin, one of his greatest talmidim was Rav Naftali Rapshitzer. And it was known to Rav Naftali Rapshitz used to go to see different tzaddikim. He used to go a lot to see different tzaddikim. And he had a seder. Exactly when he would go, he had an order. And it wasn't by geography. He had a seder of how to go to the tzaddikim of the generation. He always began by the Chayzer. He would always start by the Chayzer in Lublin. And he would come and make a whole trip. And he would always make sure that the last tzaddik that he went to, before he came back to Rapshitz, the last tzaddik was the Chayzer Lublin. And somebody once asked him, and he said, "What could I tell you? By the Chayzer Lublin, when the Rebbe would begin to say, Hoyl Hashem Kiru B'Shmai, when he would begin Shachris, he says, the walls mamish danced the Simcha. Mamish getanced. The walls were mamish dancing with the joy that filled the Besmedrash." So I have to begin there, and I have to end in that place of simcha. So I need to understand a little bit. What is it that's changed in our generation? That we see that there's an unbelievable amount of sadness. Sadness and depression. Mamish, morish chayra. That if you speak to a psychologist or psychiatrist, and if you look at the studies that are made, how much money is spent in America, how much money is spent in America on medication, for depression and anxiety. There was a young woman with little children in the shul who was very upset because the doctor prescribed that she take some antidepressant medication, which is chaval to have to stop medication. It's not good to medicate yourself. But it was a bad matzah for this woman. And she was telling me how she's so depressed, she's so embarrassed. She said she's probably the only person in the shul that's taking the medicine. I said, you're the seventh person I'm talking to today. Five out of the seven are taking medication. And probably the other two are, they just didn't tell me. But you're not the first one, you're not the only one. What is it? What happened? What's wrong? And what could be done? What could we do? Most of the nefilas, especially with bachram, but with girls also, but more with bachram and with men, most of the nefilas, the yiridas that they go through, are the result of depression, of sadness and depression. When you dig deep, they could say this, they could say that, but when you get to the, when you, after the first 2-3 hours of going through all the Nairishkeit, when you get to the Zach, to the Inyan is, it's a brach. They're not happy. They're not happy. You can go to yeshivas and you can see 16, 17, 18 year old boys, dormitories, sick, not feeling well, not going to this medrash, plates that their friends bring to the room, sitting outside the door, walking listlessly back and forth to the bathroom. And then lahavdil, like you go to the University of Miami or something, and you see like Leibedik, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 year old people. It's supposed to be the happiest time of their lives, supposed to be filled with life. Again, I'm saying things in very broad general terms. Obviously, it's not chalila, everybody, but the overall sense that one gets is that there's something terribly wrong. And when we, whatever it is that's wrong, it's causing there to be a feeling of depression bordering on despair by many, many of our young people, and by many of the older people as well. Older people are often more distracted because of the inyonim of life. But if a person sits and thinks, or is left with himself or herself, alone, so the atzvus and the yeish is something which is heartbreaking, just heartbreaking. So, it was Hashgacha Pratis that I saw this maimed the other day. I said, this is what I'm going to learn with the Chevra a little bit. It's very, very straightforward and simple. It's one of the old mashpim of the generation. It's a very wonderful Jew by the name of Rabbi Israel Tauber. I'm sure that you all heard of. And the Sefer came out recently on the subject of Nisyonis Achus. I'm about the Nisyonis of our generation. Every generation is different Nisyonis. And there was something here that struck a chord. I talk a lot about this with the Chevra in Shul. And he put it together in a certain way that I found to be very, very clear. And from here we'll be able to, Mitzvah Shem, to use this as a starting point to continue the discussion, to understand more what's happening. So, and let's begin. Look inside. Echad mahanegoyim ha-mafyonim es dareinu. One of the negoim, a nega means a disease. One of the diseases that is typical of our generation, who are yeyush, despair. Rabim mibnei ha'odim mistayvivim miyuashim, many people. From Israel, not talking about in the world, of course, but by us as well. Are mistoivim, are dreading around, are walking around the world, miyuashim, in a state of yeyush, despair, chasrei tikva, without hope, will be ikar, chasrei simcha, without joy.
Nekuda zu he is side v'shayrish kol achatoyim v'akilkulam animsoyim b'dayreinim. This nekuda of the loss of simcha, as I explained a minute ago, is the yisoid and the shayrish, is the root of all of the sins, of all of the kilkulim, all of the problems, the damage, hanimtsoim b'dayreinu.
It's not the internet. The internet and all that comes with it, the iPods and iPads and the iPhones, all of that, have become the kalim in the hands of people who are depressed. A world without meaning and a world without purpose and a world that is depressed sits yamam v'layla, nabach, in front of a thing, scrolling up and down looking for something. It's not the cause, it's the effect of the misery. Not what causes the misery. It's the result of unhappiness. The same way you could say drugs, narcotics. That was the big talk in the 60s, right? In the 70s when we were growing up. Well, not when you were growing up. When we were growing up, that was the big talk. That wasn't the cause of the misery of the generation. It was a generation that felt lost and turned to drugs. And it's a shtus, it's foolish to blame the effect instead of trying to understand the cause.
Chayser ha-simcha v'chayser ha-kara b'chashivuseinu, a lack of joy and a lack of being able to recognize our own chashivas and to feel besimcha, to feel happy in our own skins with who we are. The garalius ma'aseinu, a lack of recognizing the significance of everything that we do. The goralius, the significance, the weightiness of every single thought, word, and action of a Jew. Ba'itzmoisa, ba'itzmosam, ubegdulasam, all the power and the greatness that Hashem has placed in our hands. We don't recognize this. In ma'pilim aleinu yeish. And because we don't recognize this and we don't understand this, there's an overall feeling of yeish. Chayse bitochen atzmi, an overall sense of yeish, of despair. Chayse bitochen atzmi, a lack of self-confidence. Rifyoin, which means weakness. Feeling of weakness. Mimela, the result of that is sadness and dika'o. Dika'o means extreme sadness, depression. Rabim heim hamechapsim pisroin letesboiches napshis zu. Many are seeking a solution to this spiritual complication, this problem. Ach loy rabim heim hamatzlichim lagir l'simcha v'toiv levav. But not many are successful to actually come to that place of simcha, of true joy, and a gladness of heart. B'noisef l'kach, in addition to that, Hatsaris v'hasevel ha-protium. Besides whatever else is that's looming over us and is taking away the simcha, the joy, the tsaris v'hasevel suffering, haprotim, personal suffering that people go through, hasayvim kol yoch b'dereinu, that surrounds almost every person of our generation, there's some inyanim. Hari kol adam kimat soivil me'inyin acher. Every person seems to be suffering from something. Now, that means there weren't tzaros in the early generations. They didn't know if they're going to live, and they didn't know if they're going to live, where they're going to live the next day. That was there in our generation, the inyanim that people are going through. Zemecholi, sickness. And if a person is not sick, Baruch Hashem, someone that he loves is sick, or being afraid of. Because now we know so much about all different machlas. You have people that they sit on the computers and they're looking at every machla, kol machla shasafim Mitzrayim. They look and they become wrapped up in looking into sicknesses. And if a person sees a pimple on he says he heard that somebody died from this, and then he still looks on the computer and it says on the pimple, you could die from this too. And there's sickness. But there's mamish sickness besides. V'zema anias v'dachkus, poverty, especially in Eretz Yisrael, dachkus v'anias. Echad mu'ukev shidduch, person who can't find a shidduch. And all the talk that comes out of that, and all the fear and the anxiety. V'achib b'bayis v'sholom bayis, and now finally this person got a shidduch, and now they switched from the problem of not having a shidduch to the problem of what to do with your spouse, of how to live with this person. Shalom bayis problems. Abachinach yiladim. How to raise the children. Tzepacha, we spoke a lot over the years about the fear of raising children nowadays. Which with all the talks that I've given, all the shiurim that I've given, believe me, I'm very grateful that my kids are grown up, that I worry about my grandchildren now. But I don't know these days to raise little children with what's going on. It's a pachad, it's a fear. Little children are not little anymore. They're being exposed to such things that children should never ever see. Adults shouldn't see, but children, and you don't even know, only the ones that talk about it and the ones that don't talk about it. They're walking around with all kinds of secrets and feeling confused. Raising children, teaching children. If you're zoicha, they have good rebbeim, good teachers. But there are a lot of them that are Hashem Yerachem, that are not qualified, shouldn't be teaching, just like yutzlachs, that should be doing something else, not to be isaac with children. And then you send the kids to camp, you don't know who's in the camp and what's in the camp, and so strange people and sick things that go on. And so many stories that we hear, and then on the bus to getting to school, what's on the bus? On the bus, how much vicious is on the bus? And how much sickness is on these buses? Before you can even get to walk into the door. That if you or I knew what goes on the buses, Bahamas, we would never ever let our children go to school. We would homeschool them. We would never let them even go to school. Or we would figure out a way to drive them or something. If we knew 1,000th of what goes on these buses. Chinuch ha'yiladim. Megoyven otzum shel ba'ayos pratiyos. An unbelievable amount of different personal problems and difficulties. Kol echad ba'ayven prati soivel esevloi. And each person suffering and going through his misery and his fears and so on. Kasha kemat ein mi sheyucha lazer l'shtatif imar bebchinis tzoros rabim chatzin l'chom. You know, there's a tzoros rabim that when there's a general calamity, God forbid, so when there's a community that's going through a certain difficulty, the fact that it's a tzoros rabim, that there are people who are together in that inyan, that's already a chatzin l'chom. That already gives you strength and it's a little bit of a l'chom. But people nowadays feel like so alone. They feel just terribly alone. You go and you think, and you look in shul, you go here, you go there, it looks to you like nobody else has. Eich yashva badad. I'm by myself. It causes a terrible feeling of loneliness. And what happens if you have a wife that you can't really share these feelings with her husband because they don't have a good relationship, or vice versa? The husband can't really, or God forbid, they don't, that people are not married, and how many divorces, Hashem, everything is. The Who do you talk to? Matzav Zagorebek voice of Itzvan Ruach. This whole matzav brings to a state of sadness, the dikaon and depression, chadosh and lebekarm, new things that we never even heard of, new causes, new tzaras that we never even heard of, different kinds of tzaras. B'tzenenu la'atziv b'perek zeh b'shiyata d'shmaya, the kudas chashiva chadosha. So the Mechaber says, I want to offer in this parak a certain new way of looking at this, a new way of thinking. It's not new, but it's to put it together. Shataz alon l'smaydid in b'ayozu. That will help us to contend with this issue. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to be suggesting cures to the illnesses, nor is he going to be suggesting some magic way to make shidduchim happen and for people to be happily married and to have kids and to be mechanech the kids. As we all know, our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents had plenty of tzaras. They had plenty of tzaras. If we had their tzaras, we wouldn't get up in the morning. They had plenty of tzaras. But somehow they had, again, it's a generalization, there was a way to contend. There's a way to contend with this. I see in my own life that my father's al gezunt sein, he should be well. I don't know. I grew up in a house with such unbelievable simcha. My father's always smiling and is always besimcha. And if you or I had what he went through, 15 minutes of what he went through, forget about therapists. There isn't a therapist in the world. And I never felt that I lived in a place that was dark or sad. My father's always positive and always upbeat and always besimcha b'ruch Hashem, continuing to learn and to learn. And something else that was there, in other words, there's some weapon that seemed to have been, to a large extent, a generalization, but to a large extent, it seemed to have been in the arsenal of our ancestors that gave them kaychus to contend with the eventualities of life. There was a very wonderful young woman who called me last week. She was describing to me the situation she had with the child, a certain procedure in the hospital. Thank God it wasn't a serious procedure. But the way that it was described and the impact that it had on her emotionally for that, the experience of taking the child to the doctor and then to the hospital, even though it was a relatively minor thing, Baruch Hashem, is something that is a chiddush in our generation. It's not just her. It's a chiddush in our generation. And we have to believe that if our generation is the weakest that has ever lived, and it is, it's the most fragile generation that has ever been on earth. The most fragile generation. We're very, very weak. Things that are relatively minor can throw us completely off. It must be that Hashem Shabbat gave us a way to contend with this weakness. It must be. He didn't leave us like this. Chalila. He didn't leave us like this. The Bani Shalom loves us. He didn't leave us in such a way. Like. So we need to find a way to contend with the eventualities of life. And that word eventuality means that if you want to live, and it's exactly what I told this tzaddikus last week. I basically said, listen, honey, if you have kids, they need maintenance, you know. Kids don't know, it doesn't always work right. They sometimes have malfunctions. You have to just daven, always daven, it should be a small malfunction. You wanted your kid like to, you wanted it should be like that, life till 120, no malfunctions. Maybe a running nose, but beyond that, because the way she was screaming, you'd think that this was, God forbid, some serious machla. And what I'm going through, and Hashem is testing me. Hashem is testing me. I said, you better take that back. Hashem has much more difficult exams in his briefcase. You better take that back. But this is the generation we're living in. So Hashem spoke, he couldn't leave us this way. there must be a way to contend. So now look very carefully. This is a very moving thing that he describes here. Miyad achrei chag ha-sukkos tavshin ayin gimel. He's right after sukkos tavshin ayin gimel. Last sukkos. Hiskayim Yerushalayim mivchan la'alfei nivchanim chadoshim al-yidei irgun v'shinantem. There was a big test that was given to children. V'shinantem, they had some organization that the children were being tested. Shnivchnu kol echen mehem meyaz dapei Gemara, Pirush Rashi, and Taisus. Well, there was children or maybe young men that were tested, and there was a whole big thing in Binyanei Huma someplace where the young men were tested on they learned hundreds of pages of Gemara. Maimed Zemra Geisho Si B'chol Shana Michadesh. And if Tavis says that every year I get very emotional at this event, Ach B'shana Zu, but this year, this past Sukkos, Hiksibi lepesa ha'akar, all of a sudden, it hit me. Ki onen nitzayim b'matzev shel b'shuv Hashem shiva siyoin hayinu kecholvim. Now you remember how many years there was between the Churban Bayis Rishon and the second Beis Hamikdash, how many years? 70. So he says, all of a sudden, Rav Tarba says, it hit me. B'shuv Hashem shiva siyoin hayinu kecholvim. You know, the 70 years that passed from the first Beis Hamikdash, from the one is the story to the second is a Migdish. Hayinu kecholvim shiva siyon. We came back. Those who came back, there were some old people who came back, who remembered as children seeing the first Beis Hamikdash. It was like a dream. The whole goal is for 70 years. So Rabbi Tarba says, Cholful ham shivim shana mechag esukas shoshnas tavshin gimel. He says, I remember. It hit me. It's tavshin ayin gimel. 70 years, he says, have passed since the sukkas that I remember in 1943. Since Sukkos 1943. What was Sukkos 1943? Tavshin Gimel. Nizkarti Ketzad Chagagnu Vishnas Tavshin Gimel. As Chag Sukkos, I remember, he was a boy, and I remember how he celebrated Sukkos that year. Histatarnu B'nei HaNatzim. We were hiding from the Nazis. Lavashnu Malbushim Goyim. They already had a good look. We had Goyisha clothing. Gidalnu is Arena Kagoyim, and we let our hair. We made our appearances look like goyim. And Yizorcha Af Shani Hayisi Hagoy Shal Shabbos. And I remember I was the Shabbos goy, because he was a little kid. They used to send him to do things that he had to do on Shabbos. Hayisi Yelad Katan. I was a little boy. Ubechol Shabbos Hayisi Chole V'Seiz Shalano. They had a goat. They were disguised as goyim, and they got away with it. And we had a goat. And on Shabbos, because you have to milk every day, on Shabbos I was a little boy and I milked the goat. Shemena Hayalano Chalv Yisrael, we were able to have Chalv Yisrael, we were able to have milk. Puluzu Shim Shalano Hasvah Mushlamis. The fact that I was milking the animal on Shabbos was part of our disguise. Because I goyim lomdu mekach, shana be'emes goyim gemurim, because the goyim there all knew that Jews don't do that on Shabbos. Jews don't milk animals on Shabbos. So the fact that I was milking the animal on Shabbos, that was part of the ruse that was used to hold up our disguise as being goyim. V'hine, v'iskarev chag ha-sukkos, v'adei shel yecholnu la'asa sukkah v'gila. Obviously, sukkahs was approached. We couldn't just go and build a sukkah wherever they were living as goyim. We couldn't put up a sukkah. Shoy anachnu goyim. We were going as goyim. Ach ovi zetzal, my father, le'posak milach, so my father was thinking the whole time, keitzad yuchel l'kai mitzvah sukkah. He was trying to figure out a way. How could I be mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah? Choshev u'motzei ra'ayin. He came up with an idea. Liad beiteinu hoya asar b'niya. Near our home, they were able to live in a house. Near our place, there was a construction site. U'bohoyu kroshim ravim v'karis binyan. There were a lot of beams, wooden beams all over the place, by the construction site. Avi nigash l'goy bal ha'asar. My father went to the guy who owned that site. The woman only said, "Hilafamim who mistabech in mas hachnas." Remember, that guy thought his father was a guy. So he goes over and he says, Rabbi Taba's father went over to the guy and said, "You know, sometimes I have some problems with taxes. I have some problems with my taxes. V'amishtar mechapeses also, and the police sometimes, you know, they can give me a hard time." I need some place. I think they're supposed to be coming here. I need some place to hide until they leave the police. But you mind if I could hide by the beams? Can I make myself a spot over there by the construction site? There was a lot of wood all over. So they're not going to look over there. And of course, he put some money, some nice money, into the guy's hand. And the guy agreed to give him the key to go into that site. My father went every now and then. He's able to make a little with wood over there to make inside a little sukkah where he cleared out something up to the sky. He made a schach inside there. It was barely, he says, 10 tefachim high. I mean, you couldn't even stand up, and it was tiny. Klape chutz, he said, near his karimas krashim. When he saw it from the outside, it just looked like there was a lot of wood. Ach bifnim, he says, sukkah ksher kedasa getin. But inside it was a kosher sukkah. Yishnas Tavshin Gimel, and that year, 1943, Yom Rishon Shel Sukkos Chal B'Shabbos, the first day of Sukkos was Shabbos. And Yishuv Hayisi Agoy Shel Shabbos, and since I was little, I was the Shabbos guy. V'tiltalti Yisayayin V'achalis, and I was given the job to smuggle out to the little Sukkah to bring the wine and the Chalis. Here, this is already good, 1943, they had wine and Chalis. Beishain Lyle, in the middle of the night, halachnu avi v'doidi v'ani. I went. My father, my uncle, and myself went. And his teifafnu besukkah ktanazu. We had to crouch down and to go crawl into this little sukkah. Asina kiddush berachnu leisha besukkah shechiyonu achalnu as ma'achali achag besukkah. And we were able to make kiddush and to eat. Shonim rabbis achakach. Many years after that. Kasher Elisi Levakias Hairai Bechagas Sukkos. My 1 year when I went to visit, his parents survived. So 1 year when I went to visit my parents on Sukkos, Hem Kvar Yoshu B'Sukkah Marvachas. At this time already, it's years later, they were sitting in a big Sukkah, Mikushetas, that was decorated, Mukofim the Yaldeim and Echdeim, surrounded by their children and grandchildren. Sha'alti Yis Arvin, who Zoichu is HaSukkah Shona B'Shnas Tavshin Gimel. I asked my father, do you remember the Sukkah that we sat in Tavshin Gimel? That Sukkah. Amli Avi Shumas Gagela Sukkah. Do I remember? I missed that Sukkah. And he missed Gagela Sukkah. My Oilam Lechavez Kedushas Chagas Sukkah Kamay Ba'isa Sukkah. And my father said, I never experienced the holiness, the Kedusha of Sukkahs, the way that I did in that Sukkah in 1943. Chashati Watsmi. My father said this, and I thought about it. Rabbi Shalom, Shivim Shana is talking about now. Shivim Shana Chalfu, 70 years have passed since that Sukkos. Tavshin Ayin Gimel. 70 years have passed. Vanu Nitzarim Kan be'Eretz Yisrael, and we live here in Eretz Yisrael. Lo Nirdof Maltzavreinu, nobody's chasing us. Nobody's persecuting us. As much as the Frumma talk about how the Chilonim are persecuting them, it's not called persecution compared to what they went through. Yoishvim besukkas meravchais, we sit in big sukkas, mu taras besadinim levanim kushotim kishutim ma'isei oimen, with beautiful custom design decorations, v'teinim aleim nichoiches v'tavshli achag, and the house is filled with wonderful smells and all kinds from the food of Yontiv, musica v'simchas chag mikol kivun, and chalamai, the music and the simcha of Yontiv from every direction. B'chol zayis, nevertheless, ein adayma, ein lana was oisa ha-simcha. He says, that's not the same simcha. Sukkos Tavshin Gimel. Tavshin Ayin Gimel. With all that we have is not the simcha of Sukkos Tavshin Gimel. Ein lono soisa simcha, not the same simcha. And Lahavdil, I remember where I grew up in Queens, in our neighborhood, there were only a few sukkahs in the whole neighborhood. And I can't even describe how proud I was that we had one of the sukkahs. 90% of the people, all Shomer Shabbos, 90% of the shul ate in the shul sukkah. They would bring bilkeluch, and there was a refrigerator, and they would keep things there, and they would eat in the shul sukkah. We had also guests come to us, and we had a sukkah. There were a handful of people in the community that had a sukkah. A frum neighborhood. Only a handful had a sukkah. I don't feel sukkahs now the way that I used to when I was a kid. So it's imagination. What was so gewaldig then? And we had a very, very simple sukkah. My father there made. It's not like we have now the super duper deluxe with the fluorescent bulb. We didn't have any fluorescent bulb. There was one bulb that used to be in the wind like this, hanging down. You could barely see. But what I would give for that sukkah that we had. Ain't was always a simcha. What's the secret of this? What's the secret here? The question is, what's the secret of joy? Heichen hinimtzeis, where is it found? We're talking about from people. Heichen hinimtzeis. El nimma de soid ha'inyin, if we learn the secret of this inyin, the mystery of this inyin, nucha legales is a davar, will be able to reveal this inyin, hamayatze simcha v'toiv levav, that we could come to find this source, the makar of simcha. We can come to it. We can't go back in time. And nobody wants to go back to Tavshin Gimel. I'm not interested in going back to Tavshin Chav Gimel, to 1963 either. Kim Dumani. He said we spoke about it a little bit in earlier chapters. The difference between Tavshin Gimel and Tavshin Ayin Gimel is very, very obvious. It's very clear. When we celebrated Sukkot in Tavshin Gimel in 1943, we didn't keep it because we were told to keep it because we had to keep it. We didn't keep it because we had to keep it. Shari mitzad gidri ha-mitzvah v'atorah, because everybody knows, according to halacha, yechon delimtzol atzmeno harbe heterim lo lechol v'sukkah. We had many heterim. You didn't need to have over there a paisik to tell them that what? They didn't have to endanger their lives to build a hidden sukkah. They didn't need a heter for that. In other words, they didn't have to sit in the sukkah. They didn't have to. So why did we? Because we accepted upon ourselves the Rabbanu Shalom. We wanted to do something for him. Those who are less than 40 over here don't even know there was such a time in Klal Yisrael where somebody went to Kollel to learn is because he wanted to learn. There weren't many then. There were a small amount of people that were living in Kollel. But whoever went because it was burning inside of them to learn Hashem's Torah. Not because it was expected of them. Or if they don't, it doesn't look right. It's because it was something that they wanted to do for the Borei Olam. They wanted to do for the Creator of the world. There was no sense at that time, years ago, there was no feeling in order for you to be a self-respecting Orthodox Jew that you had to go to Kollel. As a matter of fact, the general feeling on the street was that to be a self-respecting Orthodox Jew, you're supposed to go to work, not to go learn once you were married. Those that did wanted to. They wanted to very badly. It wasn't the norm. You didn't have to look for heterim. You didn't have to ask your Rosh Hashiva, am I allowed to go to work? You had to ask your parents, am I allowed to go learn? Not to go ask Rosh Hashiva, am I allowed to go to work? It was understood that every Jew works to support his family. And if you're one of those few that you have a fire inside to go learn, even then, are you qualified? How are you going to afford it?
It's not something that falls upon your parents. How are you going to manage that? But the common denominator was very simple. Bechira chavshus, free choice. A feeling that I could do this if I want. If I don't want to, I don't have to. The sukkah in Tavshin Gimel was a sukkah that came as an offering of love to the creator of the world. We want to do this for you. We don't have to. We want to. We want to do this for you. And in a certain way, as a little kid in Queens, we didn't have to have the sukkah. Because everybody else ate in the shul sukkah. And you know what? We lived around the corner from the shul. It was like from here to our bungalow. Right over here. 30 seconds, that's how far we lived from the shul. And it was a big sukkah. So my father said, we're going to get... My father went to the lumberyard. No, prefab. Went to the lumberyard, and he took me with him. And we had to make a few trips. We didn't have a station wagon. And there was no delivery. We didn't go. We had to walk to the Union Turnpike, back and forth, with wood. And we built the sukkah. And it was an unbelievable feeling of pride, of having accomplished something that we didn't have to do. We didn't have to do. Achanu kiyamnu, the last line over there. Achanu kiyamnu mitzvah zum mitach kabbalas hamashem, mitach ahav l'Hashem. It's mitach ahav l'Hashem, because of our love for Hashem. Mitach tchusha pnimis. It was something that came from a feeling inside. We want to do this. Ha'emer is that says, that feeling inside that was saying, that was speaking to us and telling us, Ribbono shel Olam, ma shelo yasu hagoyim, next page, ma shelo yasu hagoyim lahafrid beinenu ono lo niparei. The goyim could try to do whatever they want to separate us from you. Our enemies could do whatever they want to say, they'll try anything to separate us from you, ono lo niparei, but we're not going to be, they'll do anything that we shouldn't sit in the sukkah, we're going to sit in the sukkah. On the lonely parade, we're not going to allow ourselves to be apart from you. We are going to keep your mitzvahs no matter what. No matter what's going on, we're going to keep your mitzvahs. Yeshiva sukkah zu haisa kula lishma. The sukkah of Tavshin Gimel was 1,000% for the sake of God. Was 1,000%. Kula lishma. Toicha rotzu v'ahava. Therefore, the inside of the sukkah was lined with love. It was filled with ahava. Ha'hargosha ha'pnimis azu, hi levad mevi'isim. This feeling is the only feeling that could lead to joy. This is the only ha'hargosha ha'pnimis azu, hi levad mevi'isim. This feeling of wanting to do something for someone that you love is what brings joy. It's what brings joy with children. It's what brings joy in marriage. And it's what brings joy in our relationship with the Borei Olam. It's what gives a person simcha in life. V'loishum goreim chitzoni. I'm not keeping mitzvahs because of anything, any expectations that people have, or any pressure that's coming from the society that I'm in. Those who are Isaac with this, I've mentioned this in the past, but it's a shocking thing for those who haven't heard it. I think that many of you have. But there are those who are Isaac with kids in yeshivas. They go to speak to kids in yeshivas. And they will tell you that in the yeshivas, from the most modern to the most chassidish yeshivas, that when the principal's not there and the rebbeim are not there and the kids are asked, are you happy being Jewish? The overwhelming majority are not. They'd rather not be doing it. They'd rather not be doing it. Not only that, but one of them told me, he told me this around 7-8 years ago. All the teachers and principals now at the room, but what he was getting consistently was that if you were given a choice to be born Jewish or not Jewish, that close to 80% would prefer not to be born Jewish. from the most modern to the most chassidish yeshivas. That means, Rav Yisai, that people are living lives that they don't want to be in. Tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock is davening. I'll be here, Mitzvah Shem, we should all be healthy, I'll be here 10 to 8. I'm not saying this because of Gaiva. No one else is going to be here at 10 to 8. Only me. By 8 o'clock, 2 minutes to 8, a couple. The older people, the older ones who are here, are, if there's a Zaydi here, then he's in before me. As it gets younger, the Bachram, the later they come. If they come at all. And I'm not talking about this place. This is pervasive. It's not just children. The adults, I hope it's not with any of your husbands, they should be well. I'm not rushing out of the door to get to shul on time. Shul, you know, is 8:30. The wives sit there and they see the husband dragging around with a coffee in the newspaper. It's 8:30. 20 to 9. Dagnish before Baruch Hu, before Baruch Hu. They don't want to be there. People are living lives they're not happy with. They don't want to be in those lives. Why do they come to shul? There are four or five reasons that together will get a person. But if you are not in the essence of who you are, driven, if you don't want to do that, if that's something that comes from a deep place, and it's not a matter of your choice, and you have to do it, the nature of a person is that if you're living somebody else's life, in other words, if somebody is dictating to you a way of life that you don't want to live, I don't think you have to be an only gun to figure out what the results. The results are that you're not happy. You're just not happy. A huge amount of the guys that are in yeshivas don't want to be there. It's not a secret. I'm not saying there's anything they're going to write up in any of the Jewish newspapers and what I'm saying is something scandalous. It's the truth. A huge amount of guys don't want to be there. Not in high school. They don't know what they're doing sitting there for 5, 6, 7 hours a day. They don't feel any connection to their lives, what they're doing. And they're also told that if they are not going to continue doing this and be good at it, then they're not going to get the pretty skinny wife from the rich family. They're not happy. There's an extraordinary amount of misery. And a person is not a Baal Bechira. The Sukkah of Tavshin Gimel is a Sukkah that was an offering to God. I want to do this for you. I don't have to. The second that it became a requirement for every single guy to stay in learning, that's when it was all finished. That's when the Simcha was finished. When it became an expectation that you have to. And if you don't, then you're not from the good boys. That's when it ended. Some people say that's when it began. In Pnimius, that's when it ended. Does that mean that we're not happy that everybody in the neighborhood has a sukkah now? Of course we're thrilled. Everybody has a sukkah, Baruch Hashem. It's much better now than it used to be. Just like we're thrilled that the Holocaust is over and you don't have to build a sukkah under some disguise. But we're trying to understand where does simcha come from and how do we recapture, how do we get back to that simcha? It only happens when your life is being lived according to hargosha pnimis, an inner feeling and motivation. He levad mevi'a simcha, lo'y shum garim chitzani, nothing else. If there's any external force that's forcing something upon you, the simcha can't be a simcha. Can't be a simcha. All right, it's late, so Mitzvah, we'll continue next Monday night.